The most important thing in evangelism is that the most important thing is not evangelism. The most important thing in evangelism is that is the most important thing is not evangelism, but that we are fully loved by Jesus. That the heart of the evangelist, wherever you come from, whoever you are, is fully and utterly loved by the Lord of this universe. And our first calling is not to be workers in the kingdom, not to be evangelists on the stage or in the bar or with the children, wherever you are, but to be a child in his arms. And Jesus is not firstly our contractor. He's not our contractor at all. He's our friend and our brother. And that is the soul truth that we need to have deep down in our hearts. In my prayer corner at home, I've got this icon. This is called Jesus and His Friend. It's from the 8th century. The original is now in the Louvre. And it shows Jesus on the right-hand side next to the Abbot Mena. And I don't know whether you can see it, but Jesus very gently puts his arm around the abbot as if to say, I'm here, I'm with you, I protect you, I hold you. And I love this picture so much because to me, it brings so much of this security that I have in Jesus, of his closeness. And when pressure of ministry, of life, or evangelism hits me, I very often picture myself, because I have that icon in my prayer corner, I really have it in my mind. So then I picture myself next to Jesus in the place where the abbot stands, and Jesus' arm around my shoulder. And then sometimes I very, very gently hear his voice, come friend, rest my child, I am, and I am with you. And all expectations have got to wait outside, all demands have got to hush down. All will be well because I am the well. That is what Jesus promises. All will be well because he is the well. And I guess we all know evangelism can be glorious, or you can feel like on the mountain of transfiguration when we had this deep conversation and someone has made two or three or four steps closer to Jesus, or when there were more people coming to the event we planned than we'd expected, or someone has given actually their life to Christ. Isn't that glorious? Those are the moments where I always feel like, I know why I'm doing this, I know where I'm why I'm living. But then I guess we also, and someone has mentioned that before, all know that evangelism can lead us into the dark valley of shadow and of evangelism depression. When the atheist has got better arguments, that often happens to me, to be honest, when we have prayed and organized this amazing event and no one has come up, or when you've put yourself out in preaching for a whole week and no one has come to know Jesus. And sometimes the mountain of transfiguration and the valley of the dark shadow can happen within 1 hour. Anyone knows that? It's not just me. Good to know. And I think in both cases, we need to know that the most important thing in evangelism is that the most important thing is not evangelism. The most important thing in evangelism and in life is that we are known and loved by Jesus, the God of this universe, and that our identity is firmly, firmly grounded in him. You see, when Jesus sent out the 75 and they come back from this evangelism trip, big mission trip, and they start telling Jesus about all the amazing things and the signs and wonder, and so many people have come to know the Lord. What does Jesus say? Well done, he says. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And I think Jesus is saying that because he wants to protect his friend from depending on the outcome of their evangelism, from depending too much on the fruit they may see or not see. Because Jesus knows our hearts. He knows that when things have gone well and many people have come to know the Lord, we can easily say, oh, you know, God can be really glad he's got me in the team. And then pride is just around the corner. And that very easily leads to the abuse of power and sin. And as we just said, we have seen a lot of that in our own organization over the last 2 years. But then also, when things don't go well and no one comes to the Lord and we don't see fruit, we can so easily fall into depression, condemn ourselves, and who am I? And why did the Lord even create me? And is there any meaning to life? And surely God can't love me and can't use me and all of that. I think both pride and depression, thinking too high of myself and thinking too low of myself, are just two sides of the same coin. It's the same coin. They both stem from having our identity in what we do and who we are, rather than having our identity in what Jesus has already done for us and who he is. And that's why Jesus offers to us to ground our identity firmly in him, because that frees us from the burden of depending too much on ourselves and the circumstances. The Bible calls that idolatry, if we do. He is secure and he is firm. And that is the most important thing for us as an evangelist. The most important thing for the heart of the evangelist is to know that we are deeply rooted in Christ and that our identity is safe in him. So in the overflow of success and fruit, and in the deepest criticism that we might receive, we are covered in grace. And even if you go out from here and never ever evangelize a single person again, God will still love you. He won't love you any less. He has already given his life for you. You are covered in grace. The most important thing in evangelism is that the most important thing is not evangelism, but to know that we are deeply, deeply loved and secure in Jesus. The heart of the evangelist is loved by Jesus, and that's our identity. And the first calling of the evangelist is not evangelism, but to love Jesus and to be with him. A friend of mine once said to me when I was starting ministry, he said, "You are the only thing that you have to give to people is yourself." And by that, he didn't encourage me to build a very me-centered ministry. But what he was actually referring to was to guard my heart and to not eventually find myself speaking about something that I wasn't living. Because we can eat so easily talk about the love of God without actually receiving, without actually loving ourselves. Jesus says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, I will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." I must say, I think Jesus made a mistake here. I think he was wrong. There are loads and loads of things that we can do without him. And I myself daily prove I can do loads of things without him. But everything we do without him is nothing. Everything we do without him is all nothing. So as evangelists, many of us have amazing speaking skills. You can be up on the stage or be with the children, and you're have got a very winsome way of talking to people. And we can continue to do that, that is my experience, for a long time without anyone realizing it, even if inwardly we're running dry. It's perfectly possible to spend much, much time talking about the love of God without taking time to receiving the love of God, without taking time to be questioned by God, to be purified by his love, to be encouraged and built up and transformed by his love. People will still listen to you. They will even come to know Jesus, even though we don't have a connection to God anymore. And again, Tom and I have experienced that firsthand. That's why Jesus says, "Remain in me." Remain in me. And that always reminds me of these, I don't know whether you've seen those bowl fountains, where the first bowl is filled by the fountain, and then once it's filled, it overflows to the next bowl. So that reminds me of something Bernard de Clairvaux, famous abbot of the Cistercian order, once said. If you are sensible, be a bowl rather than a channel, which receives and then almost simultaneously gives out to the overflow. In this way, the bowl keeps giving without ever running dry. You too learn to pour out of the abundance that God gives to you and not out of your own strength. Do not try to play God. Here, the bowl is like a spring. Only when it's saturated with water does it flow into a river and then a lake. Do the same. First be filled and then pour out. Kind and wise love is accustomed to coming from the overflow, not the outflow. I don't want to get rich at the cost of you becoming empty. If you don't take care of yourself, what good are you to others? If you can, help me out of your abundance, out of the overflow. If not, rest and take time to be refilled. Rest and take time to be refilled. Often in ministry, we can be so busy with filling our schedules and the next group meeting and the next church gathering that we need to run to. And that our evangelism can sometimes become damaging to our relationship to Jesus if it means that we fill up our schedule and don't have time to rest and to be refilled. Our first calling as evangelists is to remain in him and to guard our hearts. And we do that for ourselves, for our friends and families, but also for the people we minister to. We do it for them. And when I'm saying that, to be honest, I am also preaching to myself, because over the last 2 or 3 years, I have taken over the leadership of the Pontus Institute in Germany. I've been wrestling through this RZM crisis, but I've also been involved in helping a girl out of deep injustice and utter darkness and all kinds of abuse, among them spiritual abuse. I really felt this was the calling of the Lord, but it has severely messed up with my schedule, with my spiritual life, and with my faith. All sorts of reasons why. And I normally really live on silence. I take Sabbath, I take a day off a month just to be silent. I go to a monastery once a year for a week. But at the moment, this is really, really hard for me, because whenever I try and kneel down and get into silence, I've got all these memories of abuse, spiritual abuse, things that I've been told over the last 2 years coming up, and listening to a traumatized person can really mess up your spiritual life. So I'm in a position where I really need to reorder my spiritual disciplines. And I need to find fresh ways of how to connect to the Lord and establish a new routine. I'm in that place. I've also realized so much over the last 2 years how vital and how important it is to have a spiritual advisor and to have accountability partners who, even in this darkness and the hurry and busyness of life, question myself. And they don't just know the stage me. They know me inside out, and they are allowed to ask the hard questions. So maybe some of you can relate to this. And maybe, and that's what I want to encourage you, ELF is a time where you can take some time and think about these questions. Maybe it's a time where you can become real to yourself. Maybe also seek advice of wise counselors that are here. What do you need to remain in him? What are the topics that you need to get real about with the Lord, and when do you do it? What spiritual disciplines could be most helpful for you in this stage of life? And who could be an accountability partner or spiritual advisor to you? The heart of the evangelist is loved by Jesus. The heart of the evangelist loves Jesus. And we love people, because we are the ambassadors of love. We follow a God who loves people deeply, deeply, more than we will ever do, more than we can ever imagine. Jesus is the great seeker who came to win our hearts, and he is still alive and well. It's still his mission. It's not our mission. It's just his mission that we come to be pardoned. We are the ambassadors of love. And if you're anything like me, that doesn't come easy to you. Well, love doesn't always come very easily to me. I'm very often very much away, far away from loving like Jesus did. And I feel very inadequate. Anyone ever felt inadequate? Yeah, thank you. Not just me. But then I always take refuge in what Jesus said, peace be with you. That's good for me to know. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So how did God send Jesus? He sent him to become a human being. Jesus was a human being. Most of his life, he was just a carpenter. He did what he was really good at, teaching English to people, being a business person, being a carpenter. And he enjoyed that and shared life with people. That's what Jesus did most of his life. He was just a human being among other human beings. He was also a human being because he had a body. He was thirsty and hungry. He had feelings, and he shared his feelings with others. He started crying when his best friend died. Have you ever pondered that Jesus was really, really weak and inadequate? Because he was a toddler at some point. So Mary had to brush his teeth, and Joseph had to teach him the names of the animals, even though Jesus had created all these animals, but okay. Jesus depended on people. He was depending on people, and he fully depended on God. He had to, you know, before he chose his disciples, he went away and prayed a whole night because he didn't know. Jesus didn't have any fear to show his weakness, and he wasn't afraid of being inadequate, because that's what we are as human beings. So as evangelists, we are called to be human beings to our fellow human beings. And that can feel, evangelism can feel like the undoable task, especially in Europe. We will feel inadequate. We won't feel clever enough to answer all the questions and to show people why they need Jesus, even though they have everything. We won't. We're not enough. But you see, that's the secret. That's the secret of a Christian. That's the secret of an evangelist. We are inadequate. God made us to be inadequate. We're not meant to know all the answers. We're not meant to be always the amazing people up on the stage. We can celebrate our inadequacy because it does make us dependent on God. It makes us dependent on God. Now, when God sent us out, he knew that we were going to fail. He knew this with Peter as well. That's the one thing where we differ from Jesus. He didn't fail, but we are dependent on grace. And it's only people who have known the need for grace who can then teach others about grace. We are not there to win every discussion. As evangelists, we are told to win hearts, not discussions. And that means we are witnesses, not God's lawyers. It's okay to not know all the answers. It's okay to be inadequate, because that also makes us partner with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the second thing I love about this icon, because Jesus puts his arm around the abbot's shoulder as if to present him to the world and to say, he's my man. He's the one. I'm behind here. He's here in all my authority. And that's us. We're his men. We're his women. He's behind us. We're doing this in his authority. So it's okay to depend on that authority. Jesus said to his friends, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you." Being evangelist was not your idea or your calling. It's God's calling. He's behind us with his authority and with his possibilities. He has entrusted his mission to us and his people, but it's still his mission and his strength. And that is a whole different level of resources. It's not as if God has set us to work and then left. You do your thing, convincing all those people I'm great. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit is at work. He's fresh, he's alive, and he's the most dynamic among all of us. So it's his mission. And that is, for me, so relieving to know. And that's often my prayer when I go out, to say, "God, today I'm not up for meeting people where it's really, really hard. But can you lead me, please, to those people that you are already working with? People that are already searching. Can you lead me, please, to those people?" And very, very often he does. I was speaking at a university in one of the most unchurched regions in Germany, actually in Europe, and we distributed leaflets in the university. So I was standing in front of the hall where I was going to give the talk in 10 minutes, and there was this girl. She came with a leaflet and said to me, "Is this the place? Am I right? Is this the event?" I was like, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, I found this leaflet, and I'm searching for the Christian God. Am I right here?" I was like, "Yeah, welcome." I had this amazing conversation with her afterwards. So be praying, "Lord, I want to partner with you. Lead me to the people that you are already preparing." And that will make it so much easier, because you're suddenly partnering with the Lord of this universe, who loves people much more than we do.